Hi, I'm Keith.
And I'm Jeremy.
We are Buckeye Express Logistics Services in Columbus.
Our customers love to share how we deliver for them.
Hi, I'm Parnelli Skaggs, and I'm in the automotive industry. I need parts delivered on time. I work with Buckeye Express Logistics Services because they deliver 100%. Buckeye stepped in and made me look good and saved me over $80,000 a year on transportation costs.
We are Buckeye Express Logistics Services.
614-272-6730.
Or online at BuckeyeExpressLogistics.com.
While many kids are making their holiday wish lists, the patients at Nationwide Children's Hospital are simply wishing they could be home. But you have the power to make their stay a little brighter. The moment you make a donation, the butterflies on the lawn at Nationwide Children's light up for our patients to see. And that gift brings joy, funds research, and the world's finest care. Please, light up the lawn. Light up a life. Give now at nationwidechildrens.org/give.
Pre-millennial, pre-tribulational, dispensational, independent, and standing on the inspired, preserved Word of God, the King James Bible as our final authority, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Joseph Russiello. Take your Bible, sit back, and join us as we open and study the Word of God. And now, here's your host.
Well, hey there, folks. This is Joe Russiello, and it is great to be with you once again as we open up and study the precious Word of God, your King James Bible. And you know, folks, as always, wherever you are, whenever you are, and whatever platform it is you find yourself listening to us on, it is always, always, always my prayer that you also find yourself in the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. All right, folks, we are back on the air again, and we are broadcasting to you live from the Asylum Studios here deep in the heart of Southwest Texas, the bowels of Southwest Texas, the pimple on the backside of Texas, the beautiful, beautiful city of Eagle Pass. And it is a beautiful, an absolutely beautiful Lord's Day today here in Eagle Pass. And folks, I hope that you made it out to church today, and I trust that your pastor brought you a message that set a fire in your heart for the Lord, that set a fire in your heart for His Word, and for the lost and the dying that we see each and every day. Now, folks, we haven't been here in, about a month. Actually, yeah, today's, what, the 17th, right? So our last broadcast was November the 19th. And the reason for that is the studio has been undergoing a renovation, and we were anticipating being able to get back on the air on the 10th, but we just quite weren't ready yet. So, but here we are. It's December the 17th of 2023. We have a beautiful new studio set up here in at the Asylum, and we are excited to get back to business here in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the greatest arguments that have been frequently presented is, why do people suffer? Now, honestly, how many times have you heard someone say that? You know, how many times have you heard someone say, you know, what did I do to deserve this? I mean, I know I've said it many, many times over the course of my life. But my question is when you hear that, do you really want to know? Do you really want to know what you did to deserve it? But you see, when people say things like that, what they're really saying is, you know, if there is a God and if there is a loving God, then God is somehow obligated to create and perpetuate a perfect environment for us. Well, you know, folks, today on our Sermon Sunday broadcast, we're going to examine those particular questions and more But first, I'm going to ask you to do just a couple of quick things for me. First of all, would you please visit our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's swordofthespiritpodcast.com. And when you get there, head over to our contact section, open up that web form, and why don't you send us over a message? You could send us over any questions, comments, cares that you might have, any concerns that you might have. And you also could send over your prayer requests. We do look forward to getting those, and we look forward to spending our time with the Lord in praying over those needs for you. Now, if you don't like to use the web form, I totally understand that. I see where you're coming from. You can always email me directly at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. Now, also, while you're on the website, if you would, please look for that support button in our navigation bar. Now we have several different options available to you if you would like to make a contribution, and we pray that you would. But why don't you pray about it? And if the Lord leads you to do it, and if these podcasts and these live broadcasts have been a blessing to you in any way, and if you'd like to become an active part of this ministry, your contribution will go a very, very long way, and I would be so extremely thankful for it. Now, of course, as always, first and foremost, before we go anywhere else with the podcast, I always want to pause and give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for many, many, many things. But the most important thing that I want to give thanks to the Lord for is for the gift of salvation. I was a sinner on my way to hell. And I was on my hell on the way to hell on a bullet train. It was I was so self-centered, so self-righteous, so into my own set of personal beliefs that I was blind to the truth of the gospel. No matter how many times I heard it, no matter how many times someone would try to talk to me about the Lord, it was just like talking to a brick wall. I was in charge of the Church of Joe. I believed what I believed. I had my own set of doctrine, and that was it. I didn't want to hear anything else about it. That was until the day that God started to direct certain people in my path, and not only that, but softened my heart to the gospel message. He started working on me. He started whittling me down. He started breaking me down to the point where I was receptive to the gospel. And I am very thankful for the folks that the Lord used to bring me to Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just one particular person. It was several people over many, many years until it finally got through this thick Sicilian skull of mine to get saved. And it's been a blessing. Yeah, I've had my trials. I've had my tribulations. I've had my difficulties. I've had my failures and my failings. But as often as I failed and let down the Lord was always there for me. Always there. And I am so thankful, so very, very, very thankful for it. Now, you can have that gift as well. It is really, really so simple. All you need to do is put your full faith, trust, and confidence in the finished work and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. You just have to understand in yourself that there is nothing that you can do to save yourself. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No good work that you do. Your baptism is not going to save you. The sacraments are not going to save you. Praying to the saints is not going to save you. Mary's not going to save you. Muhammad's not going to save you. Buddha's not going to save you. All of the millions of Hindu gods are not going to save you. There is nothing that you can do to get saved outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible also likens anyone trying to get into heaven by any other way as a thief and a robber. There's only one way to get saved, and that's by putting your full faith, trust, and confidence in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, when Jesus Christ endured the scourging that he endured, the beatings that he endured, the blood that was spilled wasn't just any blood. It was God's very own blood. Acts chapter 20 and 28 makes that abundantly clear. All he asks is that you put your faith and trust in that finished work, in that blood that was spilled for you. Have you done that? If you haven't, you can do it today. You can do it right now, right where you're sitting. All you have to do is just call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And what's the name? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. There is, again, nothing outside of Jesus Christ. There is no name under heaven whereby man must be saved. That's it. Jesus Christ. That's the only name. Call upon the name of the Lord today. Now, folks, I also want to say thank you to the Lord for this opportunity to have the podcast and to be able to teach the Bible and to talk to you and share these things with you. I really appreciate this platform that God has given me. This podcast has been distributed all across the country, all across this plane on which we live. You know, it's a platform to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something that I would not have if it wasn't for God himself. I've tried to do this podcast many, many times under many different names and different formats. But none of it went anywhere. None of it had any traction. None of it did anything. Had no listeners, literally zero. Sorry, banging around the mic here. You know, there was nothing there. And then we started this one, and God has just blessed it and blessed it and blessed it because it was in his time, not mine. His time, not mine. And I am so thankful for it. I also want to say thank you, of course, to all of you who support us prayerfully. Thank you so much for your prayers. God bless you. Please continue to pray for those. Please continue to pray for us. Please continue to pray for myself, for my family, for the ministry that we have here, that we would reach as many people as we possibly can through this podcast, and folks would get saved. It's so important to get saved today, and we pray that the Lord will allow us to be part of that in seeing people get saved. So pray for that, and continue again to pray for myself and my family as we go through this. Now, I also want to say thank you for all of you who support us financially. Thank you so very much for your financial support. Your financial support really does help us out, really does take care of a lot of the expenses that we do have. And it's a real blessing to receive it, and it's a real blessing to send it out. So again, thank you so much for it. And of course, I want to say thank you to all of you who listen to us and listen faithfully to pretty much everything that we have put out there. Thank you so very much for your plays, your follows. Thank you so much for the downloads. We are, even though we were gone for a month, you know, I saw our play count increase and it was lifting up and just what a blessing it was. And thank you so very much. And I'm glad you all took my advice and started getting yourselves caught up on the on our series on dispensational truth. We're coming to an end on that. We got maybe three more shows to do on that one, and we'll be wrapping that up. And we'll pick that up again this coming Thursday evening, Lord willing. So I look forward to seeing you there. And you know, we've been seeing our plays and our downloads increasing on pretty much every platform that we've been on. So that's been a real blessing as well. But folks, wherever it is that you're listening, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share this with your friends, your family, and your followers. That way, you'll help us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, folks, how about we get to some announcements? All right, folks. Just want to remind you again of our Thursday night Bible study every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, we've been going through the dispensations, and we left off at the first half of the tribulation period. And coming up on the second half of the tribulation, also known as the Great Tribulation, we're going to be picking that up this coming Thursday evening. And it's been a real blessing, folks. It really has. And I hope that you've been able to catch up. I noticed the play counts have been ticking upwards on those episodes. So that's a real blessing. And, you know, I look forward to getting into it and wrapping up the tribulation period, talking about the millennium. I love to talk about the millennium. And then, of course, we're going to get into the dispensation of eternity, which is a fascinating study in and of itself. So that's all coming up on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. And also want to remind you of our Sermon Sunday broadcast, Sunday evenings at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, where can you hear this? That's a great question. It's an important question. You can head over to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com/listen, and you can listen to the show live as we are right now. And you could also listen to all of the archived episodes. We have links to pretty much all the platforms that we're on. There might be a few that are not there. But the bulk of where we are is posted there, so you'll be able to find us. And we are on platforms like Spotify, Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, and so many more. So don't forget to check those out. And again, that's Thursday, 7 p.m. Central Time, Sunday, 3 p.m. Central Time. All right, folks, now if you are in the Eagle Pass area and you are looking for a good King James Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church, why don't you consider paying us a visit over at First Baptist Church of Eagle Pass? We meet at 664 North Monroe. Our Sunday school hour starts at 10 a.m. Our worship service begins at 11 a.m. Our Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday night Bible study meets at 7 p.m. For more information, all you need to do is visit the church's Facebook page. And to do that, just log into Facebook, search for First Baptist Church of Eagle Pass. And once you get there, you're going to find a lot of really helpful information and also episodes of this podcast. And of course, as always, we are thankful to the folks at First Baptist Church and to our pastor, John Monk, for allowing us to use the church's Facebook page to post the show. Now, as you know, I don't have a Facebook. The show doesn't have a Facebook. And more importantly, I don't want one. I don't think we really need one. So we're thankful, though, for the church allowing us to use theirs. So that's a real blessing for us. Now, folks, if you are interested in prepping, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Contra Radio Network. Now, the Contra Radio Network is a single podcast that houses nearly a dozen talented podcast and vidcast hosts and artists from around the country who release content daily. The Contra Radio Network releases 15 to 20 shows a week, depending on the current events, and no issues are off limits to any of these patriots. If you want a breakdown of current events, we got it. If you want to know more about preparedness and self-sufficiency, we got it. If you want to hear a guy driving around ranting like a lunatic, strangely enough, we have that too. If you want to hear more about politics, Bible studies, sports, camping, firearms, and more, the Contra Radio Network has it all covered. You can find the Contra Radio Network on all of your favorite podcasting platforms, and you could also check them out at crn.best. That's crn.best. All right, folks, just want to also tell you about the Three Pillars podcast. The Three Pillars podcast is put out every week by my good friend and brother in Christ, Chase Tobin. The Three Pillars podcast focuses on your personal growth, utilizing the three pillars of fitness: spiritual, mental, and physical. Chase puts out a new episode every week on Friday morning, and there really is no better way to start your Friday morning than checking out Brother Chase's podcast. Now, if you want to see the video version of it, you can head over to YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/3pillarspodcast. That's the number 3 Pillars Podcast. Or you can go to my favorite, rumble.com/3pillarspodcast, and you can find him there as well. Or you can check him out on his website at 3pillarspodcast.wordpress.com. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Okay. We have our social media minor presence. You can find us on TikTok, believe it or not, at SOTS Podcast. You could also find us on X or Twitter or Twitter or X, formerly Twitter, however they're phrasing it these days, at the SOTS Podcast. You can also find us on Getter and Truth Social at the SOTS Podcast as well. All right. Well, folks, now that we've gotten through that, we do not have a prayer list for you today. I had a little bit of a problem with the materials, and I wasn't able to put together the prayer list. But we will pray, of course, for all of those that are on our sick list, those in need of general prayers, and our unspoken prayer requests. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for all that you do for us. God, we want to thank you so much for the gift of salvation that you've given us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray for those that are on our sick list. God, we know that you know exactly what their needs are. Lord, we lift them up to you today. God, we ask you to bring healing. Lord, we ask you to touch them, give them strength. God, we also pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment as they try to determine what the best course of action is for their health care. Father, I pray for them. I pray for the physicians that work with them. God, I pray that you would give them the abilities to properly diagnose and treat the conditions presented. And God, we just thank you so much that you are the great physician. Father, we also pray for those on our list that have general prayer needs, for example, for their business, Lord, for their personal walks with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I lift them up to you. God, I just pray that you would bless each one, the work of their hands. God, I pray that you would open up opportunities for them to better support their families. God, I pray for those that are seeking a closer relationship with you. Father, I pray for them. I ask you, God, to please just be real to them. Draw them into yourself and, Lord, have that special fellowship with them. And then, Lord, of course, we pray for all of those with those unspoken prayers. Lord, we pray that you would, answer those prayers according to your perfect will. And God, we know that you know exactly what it is the needs are. God, we just lift them all up to you, and we ask you to bless them as you answer. Father, we pray for our Sermon Sunday broadcast today. God, I pray that you would give me the words to speak. God, I pray that this message would be a blessing to those under the sound of my voice. And God, as I was preparing this message, a lot of this was really, Lord, I think you used it to direct it towards me as well. There's been a number of things that I've seen in this as I've been studying, Lord, that I've been dealing with myself. And God, I pray that you would make this message as real to the folks listening as it was to me in the preparation of it. Father, I thank you so much for all that you do for us. And Lord, we ask you to bless us now and bless the remainder of our Sermon Sunday. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, folks, what we're going to do here is we're going to take a short break, and that'll give you a chance to go get your King James Bible, maybe get yourself a cup of coffee. And when we come back, we'll be getting into today's Sermon Sunday broadcast on the silence of God. Folks, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends, your family, and your followers. That way, you'll help us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
Hi, everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. I feel afraid, think I've lost my way. Still, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love.
At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 300 programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Sometimes during Christmas, something magical happens.
Hey, Cricket customers. The Max with Ads plan is included with the Cricket $60 unlimited plan at no additional cost. And this holiday season, Max is the one to watch when you're feeling festive.
Son of a nutcracker!
Cozy up to all the holiday classics like Elf, 8-Bit Christmas, and the Harry Potter 8-film collection. Just log in with your Cricket username and password to experience Max on all your favorite devices. Phone plan streams and standard definition programming subject to change. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU. A top 10 university for online bachelor's programs. Tap to learn more or visit us at asuonline.asu.edu.
Rock of Let me hide myself in thee, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee,
to that cross I cleave. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Make it come to thee for dread.
Some people take the straight path in life, but at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, a top 10 university for online bachelor's programs. Tap to learn more or visit us at asuonline.asu.edu.
This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is given to you in life, will be open in the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts. The King James Bible, God's holy book.
Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Joe Russiello, and you figure after a month of not being here, we would have some of the bugs here worked out. But of course, this is like we're starting all over again from scratch, and things aren't exactly working as planned. For example, some unscheduled interruptions, and so might have thrown me off a little bit there, but I think we're back on track. Now, I think somebody's... okay, anyway. All right, well, folks, So where were we for the last month? Well, what's been going on here, while I'm pulling up all my notes, what's been going on has been we've been doing a renovation here of the studio. And as we've been going through this, we were scheduled to be back, I think it was Monday on the whatever date that was, Monday. I don't remember anymore. But we were supposed to be back and you know, trying to get back to business. But unfortunately, there wasn't enough of the studio done for us to get started. And so we had to pretty much stay in a hotel for a couple of weeks. And we got back into the house and into the studio just last week, and took some time to clean it up and get reorganized and rescheduled. But here we are now. But I did have a great time, though, up in New York with my family. Got to spend my birthday and Thanksgiving with my sister and her husband. We had a great time, amazing food. And I know it's almost Christmas already, and I'm still talking about Thanksgiving, but I'm sure you understand. I would have discussed this stuff much, much sooner than this, but if I had the opportunity to. But yeah, it was great. And what we did is we drove, myself and the kids. I don't know if you remember from episode 145, we were talking about right after the show, we took off, man, and we took 36 hours to drive up there and had a great time. And then driving back took us a little bit longer than that. I think my body was trying to tell me it had enough of this driving stuff. And we got back here. It took us a little about 40 hours or so to get back. And also, I think because I was messing around with the GPS in the car, and it was taking me through all these toll roads, and it was driving me nuts. So I readjusted everything to be off of the toll roads. And when it was taking me through the backgrounds of Texas, you know, the hinterlands and places I'd never even heard of in Texas, but beautiful. Beautiful places. And to be honest with you, the next time I'm looking to purchase some property, I think that's where I'm going to go. Gorgeous, gorgeous country area. Beautiful. Loved it. Really would go back in a heartbeat. You're talking about, I drove through a town with a population of like 300. I mean, that's pretty awesome. But the funny thing was, the real funny thing was, is as I was driving through there, there must have been a Baptist church on every corner for 300 people. You talk about crazy stuff. Now, that's something what I'm thinking about, maybe heading up back that way. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. All right, folks. So we're going to get started here with episode number 146. And as I was preparing for this, and I was thinking about, and most of this message actually came to me while I was driving to and from. So one of the things that I had been thinking about was how over the years, as I've developed more experience in teaching and preaching, you know, I find myself preaching more and more. And I'm going to use a term, and then I'll explain it a little bit. I found myself preaching and teaching more apologetically. And the reason why I felt that, and the reason why I realized that, is because in America, God is under attack. God is under attack. Now, when I say apologetically, it doesn't mean that I'm apologizing for anything. You know, when you go to Bible college, you know, you take some pretty funny sounding courses like apologetics, hermeneutics, homiletics. You know, those are the things that you have to do. Well, apologetics, by definition, is debating or arguing for the Bible or for God. So that's what it means in the theological context. And as I said, over the years, I found myself preaching more and more apologetically in that sense, because as time goes on, your Bible, your church, your God is under increasing attack. So I felt that it's necessary periodically to give God's people some ammunition to beat back the gainsayers. Because they will come periodically, and they do. They absolutely do. Even if you live a fairly secluded life, you're probably going to deal with somebody who's going to argue with you about God. And you know, one of the greatest arguments frequently presented is, why do people suffer? You're going to hear that all the time. Why do people suffer? And specifically, why do the righteous suffer? And, you know, of course, most people consider themselves righteous. Amen. You'll find a lot of people feel like that. And so what they're really saying is, you know, since I'm righteous, I shouldn't have to suffer. You know, why me? And, you know, how many times have you heard someone say, you know, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do? I mean, folks, do you really want to know? And, you know, of course, that's always followed up with, well, why does God allow deadly diseases and car accidents and typhoons and torture of prisoners and floods and wars and, you know, and child abuse? And then, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. So what people are really saying is, you know, if there is a God and there is a loving God, then somehow God is obligated to create and perpetuate this this perfect environment for us. And if he doesn't, well, then I guess he really just can't be a good God. And as you study your Bible and as you read your Bible, you realize that there was another person who had similar feelings to that, and that was Job. Job had very similar feelings. So if you would, take your Bible and go with me over to Job chapter 23, if you would. Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. And when you get to Job chapter 23, head over to verse number, verse 3. Job 23 and verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Now, this is Job speaking of the Lord, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Well, you see, Job has gone through a great deal of suffering by the time we get to chapter 23. And this particular statement is, you know, I'd love to argue with the Lord. I mean, really? Job, you want to argue with the Lord? Are you sure about that? I mean, that's what he said. You know, and over the years, I've heard people say things, you know, equivalent to that. You know, when I see God, I'm going to ask him a thing or two. Sure you are. Sure you are. Well, now let's see the conclusion of the matter. Go over to the last chapter in Job, Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Now, Job, not coincidentally, has 42 chapters. Now, if there's anyone in the Bible that's a picture of a suffering tribulation saint, it's Job. And, you know, the tribulation, if you've been following along with us through our study on dispensations, you'll know this. The tribulation is divided into two halves. You have the tribulation and then the great tribulation. And each half is for 42 months. So do you think it's a coincidence that there are 42 chapters in the book of Job? Do you think that's a coincidence? Now, by the time we get to Job chapter 42, God has had about a three-chapter conversation with Job. And obviously, Job's attitude has been modified to a great degree. And from chapter 23, where he went, where he said, you know, I'd like to argue with the Lord, he went from that to, let's see what he says here in chapter 42 and verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, now, again, this is three chapters after listening to God straighten Job out about a few things. All right, chapter verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And I'd call that a considerable change of attitude, wouldn't you? From, Lord, I'd like to argue with you, to, man, I am repenting in sackcloth and ashes. And you see in verse 3, In verse 3, he admits his ignorance, and there's more in that in that particular chapter, but that just gives you some insight to it. So why do the righteous suffer? Why do the righteous suffer? Well, Job essentially had that same argument, but by the time God got finished with him, he said, all I can do is repent. And then people want to say, if there's a loving God, why are there insane people in the world? Why are there handicapped babies? Why is there divorce and premature death and crime and rape and, the cheating of the little guy? I mean, surely God could prevent all of that. Well, as a matter of fact, he could. God can do anything he wants, can he? Can he? He could prevent all of that. Well, why doesn't he? Well, before we get to the right answers, we're going to take a look at some of the wrong answers. All right, now here are some wrong answers from the world. Sometimes it's pretty good to evaluate the wrong answers before you hear the right ones. And one wrong answer is that people say that God's indifferent, that God doesn't care. Well, all right, let's go over to Psalm 22. And of course, our authority in answering is the scriptures. And the thing is, though, anytime you answer people that want to argue against God, a caring, compassionate, loving God, you have to go to the scriptures. Now, I know that, frequently what you're going to hear is, well, you're using the Bible and I don't believe the Bible. It doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. It still cuts. It's still a two-edged sword. It's like a guy breaks into my house and I confront him with my Glock 19. And he says, well, I don't believe that's a Glock 19. Well, it doesn't matter what he believes. Amen. It doesn't matter a whit what that guy believes. It's still going to put some holes into him. You see? Well, that's this book. It doesn't matter what people say. You just believe the Bible. You just believe the Bible. Well, I don't believe the Bible. Use it anyway. It's a two-edged sword. All right, now, in Psalm 22 in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? All right, now, this is a prophetic messianic psalm anticipating the events at Calvary many years later. Now, aren't these the same words that Jesus Christ uttered when he was on the cross? Does that not in itself indicate the Father forsaking the Son? Doesn't that indicate to us that God is not indifferent? If God was an indifferent God, why in the world would God so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Why would that be in your Bible? He's not indifferent. He's not indifferent. Look with me in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And verse 5. And this is another messianic prophetic passage concerning the first coming of Jesus Christ. This whole chapter. It's a great chapter. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for the iniquities, for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So once again, we're reminded that God bruised his own Son and made his soul an offering for our sin. Now, folks, does that sound like an indifferent God? Does that sound like an indifferent God? And then some people would say, well, God is unobservant. God is unobservant. God's only a spectator on the human race. That's all he is. And, that's essentially what the deists say. He's detached and he's just kind of out there, watching, as the world turns. Remember that soap opera, As the World Turns? Look with me over in the book of Proverbs. Just go backwards a little bit. Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter 15. God is unobservant. God is just a casual spectator. You know, that kind of conforms to what we call theistic evolution, by the way. You know, the theistic evolutionist says, we believe that there was a great force somewhere, and God, or whatever you want to call him, got the thing in motion. You know, he got the ball rolling, as it were. But then he just detached himself, and, you know, he's standing afar off watching how the thing goes. Well, over in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is watching. God is observing. And God is keeping track. That's not an unobservant God. Well, then some people say God is unloving. God is unloving. And again, you know, we can resort to many passages. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? Look with me over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, these are all wrong answers of the world. God is indifferent. God is unobservant. God is unloving. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Do you know how I know that God is a loving God and not an unloving God? Because he cares enough to discipline his children. You know, an unloving father doesn't discipline his children. He just lets them run wild. All right, now if you care about your kids, and if you cared about your kids when they were growing up, you understood that occasionally it was necessary to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. You knew that. You knew that. So God is a loving God. Well, then people say God is just unwilling. God is unwilling. Well, Peter said that, you know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, God receives no sadistic pleasure in watching people burn in hell, because hell wasn't prepared for people. Look with me over in Matthew 25. God never created hell with people in mind. Now, I didn't say they don't go there. I said he didn't create it with people in mind. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, look over in verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41, here Jesus is speaking. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So who is hell prepared for? The devil and his angels. Now, if people go there, it's because they've identified with the devil as their father and not God as their father. I mean, didn't Jesus say to the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil? That's what he said. Now, sidebar, don't you find it interesting that in your Bible, it's the left hand? Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. Did you ever wonder where that terminology came from in the first place? Liberal is left, conservative is right. Comes from your Bible. That's exactly right. It comes from your Bible. All right? Now, those are some of the false answers of the world. Those are some of the false answers. The world says God is indifferent, God is unobservant, God is unloving, God is unwilling. All right, folks, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast. We're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we'll continue on with our study of the silence of God. Folks, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends, your family, and your followers. That way you'll help us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are sharing with your friends, your family, and your followers, don't forget to let them know this is a live show every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time on SwordOfTheSpiritPodcast.com. And we'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've shortened the time from harvest to home for our tasty tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. So no matter how you shop, you have more time with your fresh produce. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We've locked in low prices to help you save big store-wide. Look for the locked in low prices tags and enjoy extra savings throughout the store. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons to save on your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Kroger makes it easy to save while you shop, whether it's in-store or online, so you get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big on your next purchase. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Amen. Amen and amen. Welcome back to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Joe Russiello, and we are talking about the silence of God. Hey, folks, before we get back into it, don't forget to head over to the Sword of the Spirit podcast.com and check out our sword swag section. If you're interested in getting one of our Sword of the Spirit podcast coffee mugs, you can find it right there for a contribution amount that is listed on the website. Or if you'd like to get one of our Sword of the Spirit podcast t-shirts, you can get one on the Sword Swag page as well. Just make sure you click that info button that you see on the page there. Let me know what exactly it is you're looking for, size, style, and how many. And we will make sure we get the link to you where you can make your contribution. And then we'll be able to get that sent out to you as quickly as we possibly can. All right. So we were looking at some of the things that the world says about God. For example, God being indifferent, unobservant, unloving, and unwilling. Well, you know, okay, fine. But, you know, here are some Bible answers. All right, take your Bible and go with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians and chapter 6. All right, now in Galatians chapter 6, and the question is, why do people suffer? Why is suffering in the world? Well, here's one reason. And folks, there are several. There really are. There are several. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. All right, now, sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is a Bible principle that's absolutely unavoidable. You know, people say, you know, kids have to go out and sow their wild oats. Well, okay, but what about the crop? You know, a lot of folks sow a crop and then spend the rest of their life praying for crop failure. You know, if God doesn't do something about your crop, what does that prove? Now, sowing and reaping, you know, you sow apples, you get apples. You sow oranges, you get oranges, all right? Now, the Bible, your Bible's full of agricultural analogies. All right, and sowing and reaping is right there at the top of the list. Now, you know, I've known a number of people that came to the Lord and got saved later in life. And when I say later in life, I'm talking about 50 and after. You know, and that's kind of like the last half of life, isn't it? Yeah, I know, I'm there. Just turned 53 last month, so I'm last half plus three. So we're getting there. You know, and I've had a number of those people say to me, you know, this sowing and reaping thing really scares me because, you know, I did a lot of bad sowing, you know, back whenever. And I'm really hoping that all that crop doesn't come due. Well, you know what? I know what you're talking about. I've been there too. So the best thing that I know to do, the best recommendation that I have for you is this. Now that you know better, sow as much good seed as you can. Sow as much good seed as you can. You know, there are certain grasses that they advertise, and unfortunately, none of them grow in the climate where I am. But, you know, like Kentucky bluegrass and zoysia and, you know, grasses that allegedly grow so thick that weeds can't get in them, you know. Now, at my house, I have a little patch of grass where I live, you know, and what I like to do, and I've recently started doing this, is the last house I've owned and then now this one, about four times a year, I go and I buy the cheapest fertilizer that they've got, you know. And honestly, I don't care what kind it is, you know. And they all have those three numbers on it, you know, the phosphorus, the nitrates, whatever the other one is. What is it, nitrites? I don't know. But I don't care. Okay. Because I look at the price. That's it. I buy the cheapest bag I can get, and then I just put that whole bag on my little lawn about four times a year. But you know what that does is it makes the grass so thick that I just don't have a weed problem. You know, sow good seed. Sow good seed and fertilize it. And you know something? That's a Bible concept. Did you know that? Jesus told a parable about it. You know where it is? Well, if you don't, see if you can find it this week. It'll be a blessing for you. He told a parable about cultivating and fertilizing. Do you remember what it is? And it doesn't have to do with sowing seeds. All right, I'll give you one more hint. It has to do with trees. All right, now go find it. But, you know, sow the best crop that you can. Fertilize it as heavy as you can. And you know something? God's given you some wonderful fertilizer. In my case, I have it sitting here right in front of me. He's given you some wonderful fertilizer too. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. So, you know, a lot of people want to blame God for the crop that came in, but they sowed it. They sowed it. And the Lord warned you about it. The Lord warned you about it. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, boy, I sowed a lot of bad seed. Okay, get busy and sow all the good seed that you can. Now, you know, that thing applies to individuals. You know, it applies to families. It applies to nations. It really does. It has a universal application. And then, you know, some people, you know, they just think they're kind of smarter than God, but they're not. Look with me over in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. You have to understand that, you know, there are calamities and disasters and tragedies in this world, and some of them have to do with sowing and reaping. Not all of them, but some of them. Now, Isaiah 55, and look in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, when we start to blame God, we essentially say that we're smarter than God. We start to say that we know more than God. I mean, how many verses in your Bible do you suppose indicate that trouble will build up, trouble will build you up and bring you closer to God? There's lots of them. I mean, lots of them. Amen. I wouldn't even begin to estimate, you know, because there are tons of verses in your Bible that indicate that very thing. Sometimes, you know, God knows that trouble is the recipe for our lives. You know, sometimes hard times are the recipe. Sometimes difficulties are necessary to build us up to what we should be. You know, folks, free will involves consequences. Amen? Free will involves consequences. You know, I was reading something. Did you know that social diseases are up 800% in the last 20 years? 800% in the last 20 years. Free will involves consequences. But, you know, I would suppose, I mean, we're in the book of Isaiah, so it's a good place to, well, you know, we'll come back there in a second. Go to Exodus chapter 20 with me. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is known to theologians as the Decalogue. All right, there's your seminary word of the day. Okay, the Decalogue. Now, the Decalogue is known to you and I as the Ten Commandments. All right, and there are some interesting things you need to know about the Decalogue. Did you know that the Decalogue is carved on a wall in a canyon in Las Lunas, New Mexico? Did you know that? And the archaeologists say that it's been there for thousands of years. Well, how did it get there? Who put it there? And you know what makes it even more fascinating? What makes it even more fascinating is that it's written in Hebrew. Now, that's something to chew on, isn't it? All right. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, right? Verse 4. Verse 3. Let's go to verse 3. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, this is the only commandment that we have that continues on generation after generation as far as the consequences of it are concerned. And of course, we know this as idolatry. Idolatry. Idolatry brings judgment. And I would submit to you, in my humble opinion, that idolatry is the number one sin in America. Now, there's lots of things to be idolized. You know, one thing we idolize, and of course, you know, you just watch this thing grow over the last 50 years or so, you know, celebrities. And, you know, unashamedly now, you know, we call them stars and idols, and refer to it, well, the media refers to it as idolizing different people and so on. Idolatry was very common during Bible times. Do you remember Rachel packed around her father's images for a while? What about Aaron and the golden calf? Micah the Levite, the tribe of Dan over in Judges 17 and 18. Now, folks, if you've never read those chapters, they are fascinating chapters. You need to read them. Dan and Ephraim lose their inheritance forever because of idolatry. And their names don't even show up with the other tribes in Revelation chapter 7. Solomon, you know, Solomon lost his kingdom because of idolatry in 1 Kings chapter 11. And, you know, most of the prophets spent a great deal of time denouncing it in their writings in the Word of God. And so even in modern times, we have a lot of idolatry. I mean, it may have gotten a little bit more sophisticated. Excuse me, I need some water. You know, it may have gotten a little more sophisticated, and it doesn't necessarily concentrate on little statues of stone and wood and gold and silver. But again, you know, I submit the most active form of idolatry in America today is personalities. You know, they idolize, you know, they just idolize these people, and it's absolutely unashamed. So, so we, you know, well, I say we, you don't, I hope. I hope you don't. Americans do. You know, they idolize rock stars and sports stars and actors and actresses and certain politicians. You know, it's all idolatry. Now, you know, there are some reasons for idolatry. Reasons for idolatry. Number one, there's no moral responsibility to an idol. Look with me over in Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Now, I point this out simply demonstrating to you that there are consequences to bad behavior. People want to accuse God of being an uncaring, unloving, uncompassionate God, but you know, wait a minute. If God is God, and God is holy, and God is just, then shouldn't God endorse consequences for bad behavior? Well, of course he should. Of course he should. And in Psalm 106 and verse 36, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Now, here's a resume of events and activities of Israel in the wilderness wanderings. All right? Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. It's very interesting. Very interesting. But you see, why did they prefer the idols? And why were they being chided and chastised for their idolatry? because there's no moral responsibility to an idol. You know, if a teenager wants to idolize, I don't know, Taylor Swift, and many do, when does Taylor Swift ever call upon them to establish a moral code in their life? Do you see what I'm saying? Or any other Hollywood star. Why are so many in the news media and the public sector so opposed to that rare bird like a Tim Tebow? Because the guy actually said something about a moral code, so they're opposed to him. All right, secondly, in Colossians chapter 3, covetousness is idolatry. That's Colossians 3:5. You know, we don't have to go there, but God says it plain. Covetousness is idolatry. So when we begin to covet that which God says isn't ours, then it's idolatry. And then finally, Samuel said to Saul over in 1 Samuel 15, he said, stubbornness, stubbornness. He says stubbornness is idolatry. You find that in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. But you know something? I don't suppose there's any place in the Bible that illustrates idolatry, the results and the consequences of it, better than Isaiah 19. Isaiah chapter 19. So, again, what are we doing? We're simply demonstrating that when God is accused of being an uncaring, unloving God, people are overlooking some very, very obvious facts. Now, a guy says to me, you know, hey, Joe, that's a live 220 line. That line is hot. Shut the breaker before you work on it. And then I say, that's okay. I think I can do this without turning off the breaker. And the guy says, no, I don't think you should do that. That's 220. That's not low voltage. Well, I know that, but you know, I think I could do it. Now, if I get electrocuted, is it his fault? Is it God's fault? It's my own dumb fault, right? It's my own dumb fault. All right? This is just the way the thing works. Now, in your Bible, God has an awful lot to say to Israel. And he says, you know, if you do this, and if you do this right, you'll be blessed accordingly. But if you do this and you do this wrong, you'll reap disastrous consequences. And then, you know, those utterings are repeated over and over and over again in your Bible. We have to be careful when we're reading our Bible, because even though there may be some application for Israel to us that we have to be a little discerning in understanding that it may very well be written to Israel. But in Isaiah chapter 19, folks, Israel isn't the subject. So you couldn't find a passage more applicable to us than this one. All right, look in verse 1, Isaiah 19, verse 1. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt. Now, Egypt in your Bible is always a picture of the world. And Egypt is what? A Gentile nation, right? It's not Israel. It's a picture of us, the world. And the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. So let's read down through the next few verses. You know, we'll just go a verse at a time. And a quick comment as we start to wrap this up and demonstrate the results of idolatry. Now, I think we can all see, and I think we can all agree, that America is a land of idolatry. It's a land of stubbornness and of covetousness. It's a land that's worshiping things that it shouldn't be worshiping, particularly celebrities and personalities. Now, in verse 2, okay, here's consequence number 1. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother and every one against his neighbor, city against city and kingdom against kingdom. Do you know what that's talking about? That's talking about civil war. That's what that's talking about. And, you know, civil war isn't always fought with bombs and bullets. Sometimes it's fought in Congress. Civil war. City against city. brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, and so on and so forth. All right, it, you know, the left against the right. All right, here's another one, verse 3. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. So the next thing is New Age thinking. New Age thinking to the charmers, wizards, you know, that whole thing right there. Now, you know, New Age thinking has become really popular here in America, especially over the last several years. And, you know, unfortunately, people are more interested in their horoscope than what the Bible has to say. So what do? They resort to the charmers and the wizards and the familiar spirits. And there's a lot that you could say about that. But now, you know, it's swept across the country. You know, television is everywhere. You know, there's no doubt about it. New Age secularism. And, you know, just because they don't meet in churches and synagogues, you know, it's very, very prevalent. And, I mean, do you know what the Bible will do to your mind if you let him? He'll just twist it. He'll just twist it all in knots. All right? Verse 4. And the Egyptians will I give over to the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. The next thing that happens is, they lose self-rule. They lose self-rule. You know, the Republic of America was built upon the idea of self-government. And, you know, you find that little phrase in the writings of our forefathers, you know, the Federalist Papers and so on. In other words, it was intended with the idea that the people would assume responsibility for their own behavior and self-rule. They lose that to a cruel overlord. Now, is that the direction that we're heading? Now, I'm not assigning any personalities to it. I'm just saying that it's the direction that we're heading. All right, verse 5. And the waters shall fail from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dried up. All right, know what that's talking about? Natural disasters. Natural disasters. They come in all forms. They come in floods, they come in tornadoes, in hurricanes, in earthquakes, in fire, in famine, in drought, and, you know, and on it goes. You know, I mean, think about it. Doesn't it seem like we just get over one thing and then it's another? It just goes on and on and on. Natural disasters are the result of idolatry. Now, God told you the wires were hot, and anyone that grabs them is an idiot, right? That's not all. Verse 6. And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither. Now, you know, the Egyptians depended upon waterways for their defense. They served as walls around Egypt. So the idea of the thing is this, that the defense dries up. I mean, why is it that the left is always, you know, they always want to, you know, if they're going to attack something in their budget, it's always the military. Right? It's always the military. We've got to diminish the military. Let's diminish the military. You know what's going on? Do you know what's going on? It's idolatry. Your defense will dry up. I mean, folks, you think about it. The applications here are wild. All right, verse 8. The fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brook shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the water shall languish. Did you ever notice, or do you ever wonder why fishermen are sometimes called anglers? It comes from your Bible. It comes from your Bible. You know, I just saw something in the news a few weeks ago that said our North Atlantic fishery is basically done for. It's finished. And I'm talking about all those commercial fishermen off the coast of Maine and Massachusetts, Nova Scotia, Rhode Island, so on. It's gone. It's gone. You know, God said that that's one of the results. You know, keep your finger here and go over to Hosea. Hosea. Now I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. I don't have this in my notes, but let me see if I could find it here. Hold on. I think it's Hosea 4. I think it's Hosea 4. Let me see. Where is it? Yeah, Hosea 4. Okay. Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Can you imagine a loving, compassionate God having a controversy with anybody? But why does God have a controversy with the land? Because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Hello? By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. So violence, adultery, killing, stealing, lying are all lifted up as things to be copied or looked upon or looked well upon or emulated on TV and on the movie screen. And then what happens? God says, you know, okay, I've got a controversy with you. All right. What's the result? Therefore shall the Lord shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea shall also be taken away. God said it. God said those wires were hot. All right. Verse 14. Go back to Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 14. Verse 14. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt which the head or tail or branch or rush may do. Well, we call that unemployment. Now, the only reason they're able to keep this unemployment below 8% is because so many people have dropped out of the market. That's the only real. That's really the only reason. You know that the real employment or unemployment rate is somewhere around, I think it was 14 or 15%, you know, if not more. That's one of the consequences. God says you're going to lose your defense. You're going to lose the fishing industry. Unemployment is going to be rampant. All right, and then finally, verse 16. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And then God says, on top of that, the nation will become feminized. Now, you know, anytime a preacher stands up and talks about the feminization, I mean, and that's a bad thing. You know, people always, someone always wants to say, well, he's just a bigot and a chauvinist. He's just a chauvinist. Quite to the contrary. You know, in the Bible, women are to be protected and cared for and loved and to be provided for. That's the Bible. And so, you know, the other and the opposite approach is, you know, let's shove the women out in the forefront. Let's shove them out there and let them take care of business. Let's get Nancy Pelosi or AOC to be our spokesperson. You see how that thing works? Now, can you imagine, folks? I mean, come on, let's be realistic, okay? Can you imagine in the days of George Washington and John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and AOC getting off high center? Can you imagine that in like in your wildest dreams? You see, the Bible, folks, the Bible has an approach to women that's you know what I've already described to you. You know, they're to be protected and cared for, not thrown to the wolves. And that's what feminization leads to. Well, folks, what's the rescue from idolatry? Well, Isaiah 19 and verse 19. Isaiah 19, verse 19. In that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, and they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it, and they shall return even to the Lord, and shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. All right, now that has a millennial application. You know, those verses that we just read. Do you know what God's saying? He's saying, I'm going to smite Egypt. Now, folks, history always seems to have a way of repeating itself. I mean, did God ever smite Egypt before? I think he did. Didn't he smite Egypt with 10 plagues? Didn't he? And then he drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea? So God says, I'm going to do it again. He's going to smite Egypt. And as a result of the smiting, he's going to heal them. And they're going to build a memorial there at the border. Do you know what that border is? The border is the place we call Gaza. I mean, isn't it fascinating that all those thousands of years ago, the primary countries in your Bible were Israel, Egypt, Syria, Iran, which was called Persia, and Iraq, which was called Babylon. Those were the five primary countries that you read about. Those are the five primary countries. I mean, you read about secondary countries like Ethiopia and Libya and so on. But folks, those are the five. Those are the five. And isn't it interesting that those five are still to this day in the news almost every day? Don't doubt your Bible, folks. Don't doubt your Bible. Some things never change. So what God is saying is one day when the Lord returns and establishes his kingdom after he has thoroughly smitten Egypt and purged Egypt, which is a picture of the world, they're going to come around and they're going to vow a vow and they're going to worship God and all of this misery will be fixed. Now, from our perspective, this happens when? This happens at salvation. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, all right? This is the last passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So when people throw this baloney at you, you know, I just don't know how a God is love and God of love. Shoot some bullets back at them. Now, folks, we love people, right? We care about people. We want to win them to Christ. But, you know, like one old preacher used to say, if you can't win them, wound them. I mean, folks, draw a little blood. You got a sword, right? You got a sword, folks. Use it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, this is a great verse to assure you that if you are a saved, born-again believer in Christ, you are not going through the tribulation. You know, I mean, and folks, there are many. There are many, but this is one right here. Now, there are some folks that are just dying for some weird reason, some weird, perverted, twisted reason to go through the tribulation. I mean, it's crazy. Why in the world would you want to go do that? Why in the world would you want to do that? You know, but you know, some people are determined that they're going to, you know, and, you know, I don't doubt that they're saved. I mean, they know the Lord, but do you know what that really comes down to? That really comes down to, do you know what that is? That's the Christian's purgatory. You know, now, you know, God unleashes his wrath on this world in the tribulation. Folks, you're not destined for wrath. If you're saved today, you're not destined from wrath. You've been delivered from wrath. I mean, that's not to say that Christians don't go through hard times or bad times, you know, all the rest of it, because some do. But you haven't seen anything like what's coming down the road, and you never will as a child of God. Thank the Lord for it. All right, so what happened? And how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Do you know what the answer to idolatry is? Salvation. The only thing that can save America from its incestuous idolatry is one thing. Salvation. That's the only thing. There's no shortcuts. That's it. You know, that's why it's important for you and I as believers to do all we can to convince people of the necessity of trusting Jesus Christ. You know, folks, it's incumbent upon us. We're the messenger. They don't have the message. We have the message. And folks, I'm glad I got it. Aren't you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for this message. God, we just pray that if there are any listening under the sound of my voice today that are struggling with the results of sowing and reaping, Father, I pray that their heart wouldn't be hardened towards you. God, I pray that any bitterness that raises up within them because of it, God, will be put aside. Father, I pray for those that are listening that might not be saved. I pray, God, that you would reach out to them today. Lord, that you would impress upon them and their hearts their need for salvation. And Lord, that you would make it easy for them, make it very easy for them to lay aside their pride and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they would call upon the name of the Lord and they would be saved. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the many blessings you pour out upon us each and every day. God, we ask you to protect us and hedge us about as we go out into the world this week. And again, Lord, bring us together Thursday evening for our Thursday night Bible study. And we will thank you, and we will praise you, and we will bless you. In the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, folks, that will just about do it for us on our Sermon Sunday broadcast. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Head on over to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com. Click on that contact section and send us over any questions, comments, or cares that you might have. Also, look for that support tab. If you could help us out with a monthly recurring contribution or a one-time, we would really appreciate that. Folks, until next time, win the loss. No matter the cost.
You've
God
been
bless
listening
you.
To the Sword of the Spirit podcast. If you have any questions or comments, visit our website at swordofthespiritpodcast.com and send us a message. Or email us directly at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. Until next time, God bless you and good day.
Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've shortened the time from harvest to home for our tasty tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. So no matter how you shop, you have more time with your fresh produce. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We've locked in low prices to help you save big store-wide. Look for the locked in low prices tags and enjoy extra savings throughout the store. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.